for leading us in worship and in praise, God. Lord, some of us have praised you with the very last that we have. And all the pain and the suffering and then the thought process, Lord. Thinking about all that we've been through and all that we're going through. But yet we praise you. Because we have determined, Lord, through your Spirit that we are blessed. And now, Lord, come and minister to us. Plant your word in us that it may manifest and spring forward and do what it was sent to do. Bring change to us today. That when after all is said and done, we have a greater revelation of who you are. That we'll have a greater love for you than ever before. And that you alone will be glorified. So, God, we ask you to break down every barrier that is causing us to be separate and bring us into a oneness. That we may be your body with an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We know that the flowers fade and the grass withers, but the word of God is eternal. So give us your eternal word. That it may be rhema right here and right now. For we desire to hear from you. Lord, help me that I may fully surrender to your perfect will. I submit, Lord God, my way unto you. Have your way today. Consecrate that I may be fit to be used as a vessel. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Jeremiah verse 11 in the 29th chapter, it says, For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Say he knows. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. To give you a future. That's what God thinks of you. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, a future and a hope. Now, hope is Christ Jesus that dwells in you. He says, when you got that, he says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. He didn't say call your friend. He didn't say call your prayer partner. He said call upon him and pray to him. And he said he will listen to you. Just tell your neighbor, God's listening. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Not with your mind, not with your feet, not with your lips, not with your hands, but with your whole heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. I don't know what has tried to arrest you. But I heard the baptism candidate say, I'm just ready for a brand new start. start. God says, I will bring you back from your captivity. Amen. Verse number 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I want to talk to you about expectancy of hope. Amen. Tell your neighbor, expect it. You may be seated. Jeremiah writes, he writes to us today, and I believe that God would want to encourage you that you should have an expectancy tied with your hope. Now, hope is an expected desire. But we have to know and understand what is expectancy. Because if you show up expecting, that means you are looking for something to happen. Do you know back in the Old Testament times, it was different. When the people came to the temple, they came expecting. There was a condition of the mindset of the people when they showed up to the temple for worship. In our times, there's something about how we come to worship. You know, we have come to worship and we'll meander our way in talking about any old thing. And not even focused on where you're going and what's going to happen when you get there. But there may be a few people still left in the church that get up early in the morning and begin to condition their mind because their heart is expecting something from God. I noticed that the way stairs are made today, the stairs are made by the permits of each city, and each city, when you build stairs, each stair has to be between 6 inches and 7 inches, 6.5 inches to 7 inches. So every stair is about the same, so that our mind is already triggered that if there were stairs, you wouldn't even have to look at the stairs because it is systematically, your mind has developed that you can go up and down the stairs without even looking. In the old days, the temples were built. And they were built in such a way that the stairs, while you were going to the temple, you could not go up to the stairs and talk to your partner about the troubles of your life because you had to be focused on where you were going. So then they built the temple with stairs that varied. One stair might take all of you and leaning so you can get up the stair, and the next stair would be very little because they built it designed to get you focused on where you were going. It is something that now we come in to worship so casually with zero expectation. I'm just going to show up to church today and give God 2 hours of my time. No expectation. And then if we do expect something, it is contradicted by our fears. Because we have allowed so many wills to take place in our life that it's hard to operate in the will of God. So God begins to speak to Jeremiah when he directs the people, and the people have been taken into captivity, and he says, I'll bless you even in captivity. And so he says, wherever I have you, I'll bless you. He said, when you get there, I'm going to bless you to build houses. I'm going to bless you to do stuff. He said, and when you get there, don't trip off the people. You pray for the people. He says, because through you being a blessing to them, he says, I'm going to bring peace among them. What am I saying? I mean, wherever God has you, you got to be okay and pray for the one who is despitefully misusing you. Jeremiah starts off, he says, God says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. So then, God's thoughts is the premise of this entire scripture, this text that we're reading. It's about God's thoughts. So God's thoughts permeate God's will. So then, we, in our thought process, we have wills. One, we have our thoughts, which is our will. And that will is in motion. And most of the trouble that we get in is because of our very own thoughts. And then we have the thoughts of our friends. You know in the Bible, Jesus said it like this. He says to the disciple, who do they say that I am? The disciple said, well, some say that thou art Elijah. Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're one of the prophets. Then he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus stops right there and says, you wouldn't have known that unless it was revealed to you. There's only one way to know who God is, and that's when he reveals himself to you. Now, once God has revealed himself to you, now you know who he is. Now, when you begin to know who he is, you have to know what his thoughts are about you, because you have been filled with their own thoughts about you. And so then you got his will, which now you have taken on, and then you got your will because you have your own thoughts and opinion about who you are. And then you got your friends, the other people, then you got their will that's a part of your life as well. How many of you got some friends that have told you a little something about you? Then you find out that some of your friends wasn't your friend, they were really your foe, because some of your friends keep reminding you of how bad you messed up. And so then you got this will trying to influence your life, your friend's will, and then you got the corporate will. You got what has happened to you on your jobs. And they have spoken into your life, and you have given some things that you have learned on your job part of the will that operates your life. And God is saying he wants the full will of your life. But you have let other folks' thoughts, your own thoughts, people's thoughts, corporate thoughts. Now let's just talk about one more thought, because we handled three. Now let's talk about the fourth thought that's coming against the will of God. Let's talk about the demon's thoughts. Yeah, you still blaming stuff on the devil. Satan's just doing this. Satan's just doing it. Satan don't have no will over your life as if you are in the will of God. So then, if we understand that God's thoughts about us is what matters, then we ought to set our expectancy of hope in God and not in our own thoughts and not in people's thoughts and not in corporate thoughts and definitely not in Satan's thoughts. You know, it breaks my heart to hear people say the devil is really messing with me. The devil can't touch you. Breaking news. As a matter of fact, he can only distract you. And the only reason why he sets up to distract you is because he knows the vision that God has placed over your life. And he's trying to defer and blur the vision that God has placed in you, because when he begins to do things, you begin to talk about what he's doing more than talking about what God is doing in your life. I could care less what he's up to. I don't serve him. I serve God. I care about what God has to say about me. I care about the promises that God has made on my life. You ought to be ready to stand up every day and say, God, what do you think about me today? Gotten so used to people, how I look. How does that look? Huh? Do we always influence? You know, we didn't practice influencing other people's thoughts over our life. How about this? What does the word of God say about how you look? If you put on a raggedy coat, it won't change your appearance. you still look good. Whether you have on a raggedy coat or a bling bling coat, you still look good, because when God made you, he stepped back and said, it is good. And I'm here to tell you, it is good. When God designed you, he designed you good. You might have messed up, but you still good. The thoughts that I know, the thoughts that I have for you, to bring you a future and a hope of peace. Regardless if there's anything happening in your life that is not peaceful, it does not change God's thought, which means that is his will. His will overpowers your will. But he gives us what's called choice. So then we have to make a choice. Are you going to operate in his will, or are you going to operate in your will? Are you going to operate in what they said about you or who they say you are? Or are you going to operate in who God says you are? Well, I'm not where God says I am, and he says the promises and the blessings. Well, if you're not there yet, can you just expect the promises and the blessings to happen in your life? You know, I got laid off from a job, and I was happy. Somebody called me the other day and said, I got laid off. I said, good for you. Because I not only have expectancy in my life, I expect God to move in everybody else's life too. And if you know me, I know God's going to move in your life, because he wouldn't have me connect with nobody he wasn't going to bless up. And if I'm here to tell you, God has a sign for you to grow up and not be held back by your own thoughts. It's time to let God's expectancy move for you. God has set up a future for you. Future, an expectation, an expectancy. God is so raw. He says, when I get ready to bring life, I impregnate so expectancy can come. Now, expectancy, when you expect, it should not cause you to become frustrated. Your expectation shouldn't cause degradation. You shouldn't feel below yourself. Your expectation shouldn't cause limitations. Your expectation should cause preparation. I got a question for you. What are you preparing for? Because a mother, when she gets pregnant, she starts preparing. She gets some diapers. Where Mary at? She gets some milk. A mother is expecting. There's expectancy. Start talking about what color the room going to be. It's going to be a boy, she start buying boy clothes. Amen. Expectancy. If it's going to be a girl, she'll be walking through Macy's looking around for all the cute outfits. Why? Because she's expecting the future. And God has planted in you so that you can expect a future and a hope in him. And it's not based on what you've done. It's based on what he's put in you. In other words, you pregnant. Pastor, what am I pregnant with? You're pregnant with the promises of God. Now it's up to you to start preparing for the promises of God. If God has made promises over your life, you got to start preparing for it. And if you're believing that it's going to happen, you shouldn't be sitting at home crying. You should be preparing for what God's going to do in your life. I just got a little baby bump. But I'm going to go incorporate. Because God's going to do something with what I'm preparing. Because I'm expecting. Oh, goodness. Psalms 34 and 8. David begins off that psalm. He says, I will bless the Lord when? At all times. When I first get pregnant, in my morning sickness. Huh? God didn't say it was going to be easy. He just said to expect him to work it all out. You ought to be preparing when it don't look like nothing's going to happen right. You ought to start preparing. Folks would be looking at you crazy when you don't have nothing and you're preparing for everything. It wasn't no rain when Noah built the ark. If he would have waited for the rain, everybody would have died. David writes, he says, Psalms 34 and 8. First he says, Psalms 34 and 8. First he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, I've seen a pregnant mother, and she's thanking God. Ain't seen no baby. Baby just in there kicking, uncomfortable, back hurt, couldn't sleep. Got to keep them going to the bathroom, but still praising the Lord because she's expecting something. In your pain, something may be giving you a backache, making you uncomfortable, got you going here and there, but you should still be praising the Lord. But there's a problem. The problem is your will has not let his will take over. Well, preacher, yes it did. Well, no, it hasn't. Because if it's his will, you'll be talking about him. And as long as you're talking about what you don't have and what's going wrong, you are still stuck in your will. When you are operating in his will, you are focused on him. And God is so raw. Because he loves you, he is going to help your focus come back. And so because he has put purpose and destiny in you, that you have to fulfill the destiny call. And so you're going through things, and as long as you keep looking at the thing that you're going through, you will continue to glorify the thing. And the thing will help you capsulize. Now get this, we talked about distraction a few weeks ago, and distraction is really a deterrent to blur your vision. Because through your destiny, God gives you vision. If your eyes is not on what God has planned for you, then you will not begin to prepare for the vision. So the enemy tries to distract you because he cannot touch you. And the moment you look at what he's doing wrong, doing with you, is when you begin to sink. And your vision, you're not able to see anymore because you've taken your eyes off of God. Let me give you an example. Somebody say, stuff happened. in life, stuff just happens. You got ups, downs, changes, and turn around. But God himself remains the same. So then, if God remains the same, why do we focus on our ups and downs and changes and turnarounds? Because you are not focused on vision. You are focused on you. God is so awesome that he won't allow you to stay focused on you. And so he will bring your focus back that the enemy has tried to distract. When Peter was walking on water, his focus was on destiny. So Peter is walking because Jesus said, come. So now he's not focused on what he wants to do. He's focused on come. He is following the master's instruction because the master is tied to his destiny. And the master is the only one who knows the true will of your life and the thoughts that he has for you. So Peter, come. Come. Peter then does not think about the obstacle of walking on water. He doesn't think that that is an impossible task. He only thought about what the Lord had to say. What am I saying? Whose voice have you been listening to that is keeping you from walking in the perfect will of God? Peter, come, Peter said. Come out the boat. He didn't care who was going to talk about him. Oh, Peter, you could never walk on water. Oh, you don't have the vision for that. You ain't that blessed. You not that smart. You don't even, Peter, you crazy. Wow. Isn't that what people be trying to tell you? What you can't do. And you allow people to hold you limitless when God is limited when God is limitless. One man hopped out the boat and was in a trance. He was focused on Jesus. Come, Peter. Peter was coming because the master had called him. There was nothing he could do but obey. I'm coming. And as he was coming, the enemy was attacking. But who cares what the enemy is doing? But because he's human and he wanted us to know what not to do, Peter was coming and the wind started blowing. Now get this. Now, we can't even see wind.
Come on, pal. Amen.
And the Bible says when the wind start blowing, Peter, look. What am I saying? There's stuff that you're looking for and you can't even see it. You just looking all around trying to look for the wrong stuff.
That's good, pal.
Peter was focused on destiny. The master has called. Now, if I'm Peter, I'm going to think about this for a minute. I know God did this to help us. But if I'm Peter and I didn't take my first step, man, look here. I've been shouting, Jesus! I'm doing, man, I let everybody on the ocean would know that I'm walking towards Jesus. And I'm walking on water. But Peter, in his humanness, shout, I'm human.
I'm human.
In his humanness, his expectancy was to get to Jesus. But while he was walking, the Bible says he took his eyes off of Jesus. Vision. Vision. You get to your destiny by keeping your vision right. And he was distracted by things that couldn't stop him. But he paid attention to the thing that was making noise instead of the one that was calling him. You've been distracted by some folks making noise with you too. And the Bible says he looked the distraction and the thing that was distracting him, because God is so raw, the thing that was distracting him began to take him down.
Amen.
Have you ever been in a place where it felt like life was taking you down? Have you felt in a place where it was so heavy on you and you said, God, how am I going to get through this? And you knew that there was no hope unless God did something with no hope for you. Is there anybody in here that's ever been desperate for God to bust a move in your life before, when you were down and out, locked up behind bars, on drugs, people talking about you, people walking out on you, your child sick, somebody dies in your family, but God will show up. Peter was being sucked in by the thing he looked at. Somebody else's wheel. He started out in destiny, focused on the will of God, and allowed other wheels to enter and cause him to sink. Sinking is painful. But God uses pain to get your vision back. While Peter was sinking, he said, Lord, save me. All of a sudden, it wasn't about the wind anymore. All of a sudden, it wasn't even about the water that was about to drown him. It was all about God. Lord, save me. Bible says immediately.
Amen.
Jesus said, I can reach you. No matter where you are, I can reach you. My arm is not short. I can reach you. The Bible says he reached him and saved. Because he called out with an He didn't hope for a life jacket. He didn't call for the other 11 that was still in the boat. His focus came back. His vision was clear. I want to talk to the people with some clear vision in here. David. He was so excited, he's writing. Did you put Psalms 34 and 8 on the board? He was so excited in his writing. He said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. I don't care what's going on. Because he had a record that every time he focused on God, God helped him. I got news for you. Every time you focus on God, he helps you. And so why don't you just stay locked into your help? So you don't have to even call for help no more. You can just tell him thank you because he's staying right there in your time of need.
Hallelujah.
34 and 8. So he gets down and he's so excited. He says, oh, come and exalt the Lord with me. He's inviting people to worship with him. And then he gets to 38 and he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to talk about nobody else. Just taste. Come taste them. I know you don't get it. Just come and taste them. You don't know what's tickling my taste buds right now, so I can't really talk to you about it. You're going to have to taste them for yourself. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, the only way to taste them is he is the word. So you're going to have to eat the word to get a good taste. So then, the word of God is what's taking you into his will. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. You are a blessed people. You can't trust yourself. I know you've been holding your own. Truth be told, you done made a few mistakes. Your record is blemished. You're going to need to trust somebody who has an unblemished record, with one who came and saved you when you couldn't save yourself. The one who keeps cleansing you when you can't cleanse yourself. The one who's changing you even right now. Oh, taste and see. In other words, in order to get vision from God, you're going to have to eat his word. I got to talk to these folks over here. I want somebody to get excited about eating up God's word. Because the more you eat, the gooder he gets. And so when people say, why are you going to church? So you got to taste and see. Because I'm going to get what's good. So. David. Encourage and taste and see that the Lord, the Lord, nothing else, the Lord. But your destiny is tied to the Lord. I know you're chasing a career, but your destiny is tied to the Lord. Whatever God has for you, don't get frantic. Once you got him, he got you. You're not going to sink, but he will allow pain to happen, so that he can get you focused on the vision that he's put down in you. And you've been scratching the surface at the top of the bottle. But there's vision down in you. The anointing of God is ready to take place in your life. It is going to have to be up to you to expect for God to bust the move through you. You can't do this. This is going to be a God move. Say, move, God. So, taste and see. That's why when you start reading that word, it's hard to quit. Because it gets so good. And you read it yesterday, but then you read it today, and it got gooder. I didn't see this good yesterday. The reason why you didn't see this good yesterday or last time is because your vision was getting better. Oh, goodness. So we have to, listen, we have to believe God. So the expectancy of hope is believing that God will never break a promise. And what he said about you is solid and secure. So what else has he said about? I can't tell you it's going to take you praying to him. He said, seek him with your whole heart. He said, and I'll reveal myself to you. Expect to find him. I'm going in. I'm going beyond where I used to go. I can't take you with me. You're my friend, but I got to go in all by myself. This is personal. Shout expectancy. Shout expectancy. Expectancy. Now slow it down. Expect. In. See. You expect him, in him, you're going to see it happen. You can't get expectancy and take off running You're going to have to prepare. I don't know what God is going to use you for. I just know that there is a great plan in your life. And I got to say this, and I hope if you don't get nothing else, you get this. Because this is the key to transformation. You are going to have to stop looking and talking about what's wrong and what you don't have. Here's breaking news. You have everything already. We got to go home. No, we don't. We got to go somewhere. But I don't want you to leave expecting the same old, same old. And the way you know that you don't expect the same old is you change your language. Because what you believe, you're going to talk about. It's almost like a mother going to the doctor and she wanted a boy. Show up at the doctor 5 months pregnant and say, look, it's a girl. And she go out and buy boy clothes anyway. Because it's what she wanted instead of what God's plan is. Your plans won't work. But his plan for you is absolute. And it's already working in spite of all the times you tried to distort the plan. God says, I'm more powerful than you. You said, I'm going to stay away from church. And God said, no, you're not. You said, I'm going to please you. God said, only for so much time. God says he has a plan and a future of peace, right? Peace. How many of you want peace? Jesus says, peace I give you, and peace I leave. He said, I'm going to give it to you for the ones that get excited about just receiving the gift. He said, but some of us are slow, so I'm going to leave that for you. When you catch up, you can get it. I was on the slow end. But we have an expectancy in God. And what God is showing you, he's going to work. That's why I'm glad they were singing that song before we came up. Because you have to understand that it's already yours. You one reach away. Just one. And right when you get ready to reach, something happens and you look somewhere else. And what you were reaching for, somebody else grabbed it. But you're one reach away. And it's yours. God has called you blessed. Now, what do you call yourself? You have to know that you know that your thoughts are the same as his thoughts. So what he thinks of you is what matters. He says that you are his children and heirs. And not just heirs, but joint heirs with Christ. So it's time to reign in him. And if you're not reigning with him yet, expect it. And get happy about it. Somebody said, well, you still suffering. Why are you so happy? Because I'm about to reign. Watch. God said, a twinkling of an eye. Behold, I come quickly. Suddenly, God will do it. If you would just believe in God, he'll change it suddenly. All he needs is a few witnesses. Just start praising him anyway. And watch God meet the expectation that you have fallen in love and stood in his will. Give him a hand of praise.